Please remain standing for the reading of today's sermon text. You'll find it in the Bible, the Black Pew Bible that's in a pocket in front of you on page 965. Obviously, you're welcome to read it in the Bible you brought with you today. We're going to be reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. God is speaking to the Christians in the city of Corinth in this letter from Paul. In these verses, we hear the Apostle Paul describe the gospel in an unusual way, as a beautiful smell. And we don't often think of it in that way, but that's the way Paul describes it. So please follow along as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. This is the word of God. When I came to Troas, to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I could not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. You may be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this word of yours. We need to hear from you every day. So feed us today on the manna from heaven, the Lord Jesus, your Son. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would shed light on this word today for us. Shed light into our hearts because we need to see things and hear things. And we need spiritual ears and spiritual eyes to hear and see. And only you can do that, Holy Spirit. Lead us, teach us today things that we need to hear, things that we wouldn't normally see and understand. Teach us that we would love you, Lord Jesus, and walk with you more closely as your people. In your name, amen. Have you ever walked into a Krispy Kreme donut shop when they're just made fresh donuts? And you know that smell? Wow. Now, I know there are some of you here, I thought about that. I thought, should I use this as an illustration? Because I thought there's some that are probably, okay, I'm on a diet, or I've gluten-free, so I can't eat donuts. So substitute your own smell. But you know there's some smell that smells fantastic. It smells great. And a number of years ago, I had that smell of the Krispy Kreme. I remember when my wife and I went with our kids and the families, my sister's or my wife's brother's family. My in-laws had their 40th anniversary, and so they wanted to take us all to Florida. And so we all went caravan together as families, went down to Florida, and we stayed at a timeshare. And at the timeshare, it was right next to a Krispy Kreme donut shop. So every morning, we would get up. And I remember walking over to the Krispy Kreme donut shop to get donuts. And what a contrast, because we walked through the parking lot, smell of cars, gasoline, normal things. And then through the back parking lot of Krispy Kreme by the dumpster, smelled terrible and rotting garbage in Florida that time of year, you can imagine. And then right into the Krispy Kreme shop where the smell of freshly made donuts wafts through the air and just captures you and you say, wow, is that amazing. I have to think that's a little bit of the, not Krispy Kreme, but a little bit of the thought Paul had of some sweet smell when he thought of these words to tell the Corinthians about the gospel. And notice he does refer to smells, as David said, in verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, Paul says, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And in verse 15, and we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Paul's talking about smells here, the fragrance and an aroma, and saying this gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that God sent his Son to save from sin, is a smell, and it's a smell that we can thank God for as his people, especially when we live in a world that has a lot of sinful and deadly odors. And there are three ways that Paul tells us this gospel of Jesus Christ is like a smell that I want you to think about for a few minutes. First of all, this good news of Jesus Christ is like a smell in the way it enlivens us. Secondly, it's like a smell in the way that it spreads. And thirdly, like a smell in the way that it's received. So in the way that it enlivens us, in the way it spreads, in the way it's received, it's all like a smell, this gospel is. Notice, first of all, the gospel is like a smell in the way that it enlivens us. And think of it like this. If you smell some good food, what is it? Well, when you walk into Krispy Kreme Donuts, you smell it. What does it make you want to do? Eat one. You want to get into a pizza place that you love. You smell it. It enlivens you to want to eat. This fragrance does that. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 16 when he says this is a sweet smell that should enliven you. Notice what he says. To one, it's the fragrance of death. And to one, it's a fragrance of life. It's a life-giving fragrance. It's a sweet smell, Paul's saying. It actually gives life and brings life to the soul, this smell of the gospel. And Paul tells them here, remember in context, that's what he's meant to do as an apostle. He's the one who's spreading this fragrance around and letting it do its enlivening work, and that's his whole task in life. He reminds them in verses 12 and 13, that's what he went to Troas to do. Notice he says in verse 12, I came to Troas to do what? To preach the gospel of Christ. Because a door was open, and Paul, as you know, went everywhere a door was open to preach the gospel. It was his consuming purpose in life, because you remember who Paul was. He was the man that Jesus Christ grabbed on the road to Damascus and put him into his service. He knocked Paul down, who was Saul at that time on the road to Damascus, and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he blinded him and sent him to this man named Ananias, and he was in Damascus, and Ananias then was told by the Lord Jesus these words. Paul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, and that's exactly what Paul did. I am to carry this gospel and its smell around the whole world, and so he went to do that in Troas, but he says in verse 13 that he couldn't stay there long because he was kind of agitated that he didn't see Titus, his friend and confidant in the gospel. You remember I mentioned last week the context here is that Paul was waiting for word from Corinth to see how the people in Corinth and the church received what he said in a previous letter. He told them to discipline this man, and he was curious if they went through and they listened to him or if they were listening to his enemies. And so he is looking for Titus to give him news. And so he says he left Troas and went to find Titus in Macedonia and found him. But then, interestingly enough, after verse 13, he just breaks off. And a lot of commentators, if you read through 2 Corinthians, say he breaks off in chapter 2, verse 13, and doesn't pick up that thought until chapter 7. And Paul was like this if you read through his letters. You see that he breaks off and he goes into this long explanation and powerful. He's gripped by this gospel and he starts to go into this tangent because of his love for Jesus Christ and the gospel. And that's what he's doing here in verses 14 to 17. Going to Troas to preach the gospel reminds him of his whole calling and purpose and how it relates to the Corinthians. And so he goes off into this whole explanation of what the gospel is and how it's a sweet smell. He tells them it's this sweet smell of the victory of Jesus Christ. Look at what he says in verse 14. Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads this fragrance of the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Now, there's different explanations and understanding what Paul's talking about when he says about this triumphal procession. The main picture most commentators believe is that there's something that happened when a great general went and defeated some other nation in another land. He would go off and he would have this great victory, and then the general would come back to his hometown and he would lead a triumphal procession through the town, bringing all the captives that he'd gotten from the other land that he attacked. And so there's this procession of triumph that the general was coming through the town to say, we won, we got the victory, and these are the men we've captured from that foreign land. So Paul's saying there's this procession, and where commentators disagree a little bit is on how Paul sees himself in relation to this procession. He's saying he's in it. Notice, he leads us in a triumphal procession. So he's leading me and the other apostles in this procession. But is he leading us as one of the captives? Or is he leading us as one of the lieutenants? And there was a understanding in these triumphal processions that the general would be at the lead, and then he would have his key lieutenants right next to him as he led this procession. And they joined him in this victory that the general had won. Or is Paul saying he's one of the captives that was captivated by Christ, and Christ is surely the general here. It's Christ's victory that Paul's talking about. But Paul could be one of the captives that Christ brought, or he could be one of the lieutenants. I would lean towards saying he's probably thinking himself as one of the lieutenants here is with Christ. Christ got the victory, and he leads his apostles in this victory's triumph to show that he is the conquering king. And his lieutenants are all pointing to the general to say, yes, he's the king, and he's leading us in this triumphal procession. And Paul's saying that's what's happening, is that this gospel I preach is a gospel that tells of the great triumph of Jesus Christ. He's the one who's triumphed over sin and death. He went to the cross to die and bear our sins on the devil, and when he did it, he defeated the devil. He defeated our sin. He destroyed death, and he rose again to prove it, and he's going to come one day to restore all things and make all things new. It's the good news that Paul proclaims, and notice he says it's in this triumphal procession that it spreads a fragrance of Christ. Now, we all know that we live in a world full of odors, bad odors. The odors of sin and death. It's filled with odors that are in our hearts we know are bad odors. The odors of selfishness, hatred, bitterness, resentment, envy, lust, greed, self-centeredness. These are all bad odors that we smell in ourselves and the world all the time. We are in a world of bad odors. And so, you see, Paul's using this image to say, look at what God did. In the world of bad odors, he brought this sweet smell of Jesus Christ. And I get the privilege of going with the king in his procession and spreading the fragrance of this victory that he's won. And you know what I see it do? It enlivens people. It brings life to some. Some hear it and they're brought to life and they respond to the gospel like Lydia, like the people that he's seen. Churches spring up. People believe this Jesus. It's like I said, walking into the pizza place and you smell this pizza and you want to eat it. Your taste buds are alive. That's what Paul's saying happens when he preaches the gospel. There are those who smell it and it enlivens them. Here's the point. The good news of Jesus Christ is a sweet smell and it enlivens us, and we as Christians can enjoy the sweet smell. And as a matter of fact, we're here today as God's people in this place on this prescribed meeting with the Lord to soak it in and smell the beauty of this gospel. How sweet it is that God didn't leave us in our sin. He really did send a Savior. And yet we're living between the times that sin is still rampant in our world and our hearts, but we have a Savior who's going to overcome the world eventually, and it will be made right with sweet aroma everywhere all the time. And you know, as a pastor, I get to see some people in pretty bad places because of their sin. And you know, one thing that I've noticed is this gospel and the sweet smell of the gospel is never sweeter than when someone's in a really bad place because of their sin. It's like that contrast of walking through the Krispy Kreme parking lot in a dumpster to get to the Krispy Kreme store. When you've just smelled a dumpster, Krispy Kreme smells really good. I mean, better than normal. And it's the same thing with our sin as Christians. We can get in places where our sin comes upon us and we see it in ugly ways. And there's no time better than at times like that to smell again how beautiful the gospel smells. And we need to do that as Christians. Be thankful for this. Let this enlivening power of the gospel get into our hearts, especially when we smell the stink of sin in our own hearts and then see it around us in the world. It can drive us down, but the gospel is a smell that should bring us back up. So the gospel is like a smell in that it enlivens taste buds and hunger. But there's another way that the gospel is like a smell in the way that it spreads that Paul talks about here. It's like the spreading of a fragrance. It says in verse 14, notice, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance." Fragrance is spread. You know that as well as I do. If you get a fragrance, it spreads and drifts everywhere. A few years ago, I had that happen in our house. I remember vividly, we had a drain clogged in our tub in one of the bathrooms, and so I wanted to get rid of this clog, so I got the most potent stuff that I could to clear this drain. And it was so potent, it had to come in a bag, and I had to wear gloves to pour it in there. And I remember reading the instructions very carefully of how you pour it in, wear gloves, don't touch it, just make sure this goes right in the drain, just a little bit, because it's potent. But I didn't read how much it stinks. So I poured it in a drain, and we had people coming over in a couple hours. I thought, I'll just get this done quick before. I pour it in. Great, I hope it's working. All of a sudden, whoa, did it reek? It was terrible. I thought, I got to close the bathroom door. I got to get this confined. I'll close it. That doesn't stop odors. It went through the whole house. I mean, everywhere it was. To the point that I was opening the windows, getting fans, trying to push the smell out. It didn't. It just kept hanging there. And you know that's what smells are like, aren't they? They just hang there. They spread and they hang there. That's where air fresheners work, right? And we get the air freshener and pretty soon your room smells like apple cinnamon or Hawaiian breeze. Why? Because it just floats everywhere. It fills the room. That's what Paul's saying here about the gospel. It spreads and it spreads everywhere. It's like an aroma that way. And that's what we're here to do, Paul says. We're bringing this aroma everywhere and letting it spread. And you know, that tells us something about God's character, doesn't it? How he spreads the gospel and he wants it to spread. He's going to set up the gospel in such a way that he loves sinners so much that he wants everyone to hear it. He wants it to spread. What's a way to make it spread? Make it like a sweet aroma. And then get apostles that are spreading the aroma and let it just waft around the whole world until the whole world's infected with this message of the gospel. That's why we send Brian and Rebe to Madagascar. It's wafting to Madagascar. It's wafting to all corners of the world. That's what missionaries do. They're spreading this fragrance, and it's getting everywhere. It's every place, every tribe, tongue, and nation, and it should, because we have a God who loves sinners enough to send a Savior and want this message to get to everyone so that they can trust in him and find relief and salvation in this Jesus. If you've ever wondered if God is loving, when you look, and there are people that do that, you know them as well as I do. There are people who look around the world, see everything that's happening, and they say, how can God possibly be the God of love when I see all of this? All you need to do is look at the cross and the gospel and how it spreads and say, yes, we have made a mess of things. The world surely is in a mess, and it's our fault. But look at the God of grace who's given a beautiful smell of the gospel, and he's wanted it to invade this world so that no one can walk away saying, I didn't ever hear. It's like a smell. He sent his son and sent the scent of his son around the world, and he wants it to go around the world and spread. And that's why we are here at Town North as well, spreading the gospel. We're supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to tell everybody we hear about this sweet smell of Jesus Christ. And we're not, as Christians, you know, it's something the way the gospel should be. You can't hold it. You're not supposed to be able to. You can't contain a smell. Even if you're bad at it, like, you know, if you're a bad evangelist, Dave Rogers is a bad evangelist. If you're a bad evangelist, you can still smell. And you know what? He takes that smell and uses it to save people because it's a sweet smell. You don't have to be sweet yourself. You've got a sweet smell to send to people. So, secondly, it's also like a smell in that the way it spreads, Paul says. But notice there's another way, third way, that this gospel is like a smell in the way it's received. Look at verses 15 and 16 again. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Listen to 16. For to one, we're a fragrance from death to death, and to another, a fragrance from life to life. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, you know what? He's telling us something about the way the smell of the gospel is received. Some people receive it and it's a fragrance of death to them. Some people receive it and it's a fragrance of life to them. One person smells it and it smells of death. He doesn't like it. Another person smells it, it's the smell of life. It enlivens his taste buds for the Lord. And he does like it. And here's the point. Paul's saying this gospel, a fragrance of the gospel, this aroma is like a smell in that it has different receptions. Not everyone likes it. One person loves the smell, another person hates it. I remember in our small church that I was at in Indiana, many years ago, a woman left the church because of a smell. She was coming to the church, began attending. She was there for several weeks. Then all of a sudden, she was gone. I contacted her, talked to her. Hey, we haven't seen you for a while. Well, I'm sorry, Pastor, I can't come anymore because, man, you know, I've been trying to. I came to the church, I visited, but there's someone there who wears a perfume that is just, it makes me sick. I smell it and I really have an allergic reaction or something. I can hardly breathe and I had to get out of there. I can't come anymore. So here you had in this church one woman, obviously, who loved the smell because she bought the perfume and wore it every week, and another person who couldn't stand the smell and couldn't come to the church because of it. Same smell, different responses. And Paul's saying, well, a similar thing is true with the gospel. It's a smell of life. To some, they smell it, they say, that is a wonderful smell. I need that. It enlivens them. Another person smells it, I don't like that. I don't like the smell of this. But the gospel is never neutral. Never received in a neutral way. Even if you receive it kind of like, that's a no. I don't really like that smell. You can absolutely hate the smell. There's a scale. Or just be, don't really care about the smell. That's all on the negative side. If you hear this smell and you go, that is good news. That is a Savior that I need and love. And you can say, okay, yeah, I'm smelling it as a smell of life to me, but it's never going to be neutral. And Jesus said that, right? The way the gospel comes. Jesus said, this is the judgment. Light came into the world, but you know what men liked more? The darkness. Because their deeds were evil. I came and light came into the world, using another analogy. Light came, but men loved the darkness. And you could say in the same way, Paul's saying here, smell came, but men hated the smell. It's a smell of death to some, a smell of life to others. So here's the point of how we receive it. If you're here today and you have smelled the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel and you love him, you can thank God for that. If it's an aroma that you gravitate toward, and obviously if you're here as a member of Town North, you do because you want to come each Lord's Day. You want to smell this beautiful aroma of Christ, and you read your scriptures, and you're with brothers and sisters, believers in the Lord, that you want to be with because you want to be surrounded and saturated with this gospel because you love it. Thank the Lord today. Because you haven't given, you've not been given that sense of smell by just because you're smarter. We don't get it because we're more spiritually sensitive. It's the Holy Spirit doing this in us that we love the smell of Jesus Christ. And it's an aroma that we want in a smelling world that have odors. Or maybe you're here today and, you know, I don't really like the smell of this. Maybe that's your response. You really don't see a need for this Jesus. It's not really that important. And I would encourage you to think about what Paul's saying here and what he's saying about how you smell the gospel. To smell it and to not want it shows that you're in a bad place. And God is calling you back to himself, to his son. We have made a mess of the world as human beings. We have made a mess of our souls as individuals. And God is saying, I have sent a Savior who came not for the righteous, but for sinners. If you're a sinner, come to him and trust in him. And this is a beautiful fragrance of Christ. It's supposed to say, God gave a solution to sin. But as I said, if you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let the gospel smell permeate your soul and be sweet to you today. Especially I would encourage you when you come to the table. That's a time when we're supposed to, as God's people, smell the aroma of this Jesus and what he's done. And let it be enlivening to us to say, Lord Jesus, I want to serve you and my life is yours and I love you because of what you have done in purchasing me by your blood. Come to the table that way today. You don't have to have your life cleaned up. You come here to remember that Jesus Christ is clean for you. Let's pray. And Lord Jesus, we do come to you, our Savior. And we want to smell today this pleasing aroma of what you have done, offering yourself for us and for our sins. Lord Jesus, continue to enliven us by this smell of the gospel, we pray. That you'd be glorified in us and use us to bring this sweet smell to others around us. In your name, amen.